where science and entertainment meet, that's where you'll find our next guest. Tony Gustine is an entomologist from Milwaukee who years ago came up with the idea of a traveling bug show called the Creepy Crawly Zoo. He lets kids interact with hissing cockroaches, giant African millipedes, stink beetles, and other kinds of insects. And the kids love it, and more importantly to him, they become curious about science. Now he wants to launch what he describes as sort of a science theme park in Waukesha, the Gateway Science Center. Tony is in the studio, and some of the stars of the Creepy Crawly Zoo are here, too. Tony, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Well, I want to meet some of these guys, but I want to spend some time on the project first. What got you into this idea of bringing the Creepy Crawly Zoo to schools and other institutions?
It started as a joke over a couple beers in college.
as all good things do.
A few blocks from here, actually. The conversation evolved to the point where we said, can you imagine if you went to schools and you brought live insects that kids could touch and feel, what that would have done to kids like us? And we all were like, yeah, and toasting. And I was kind of like, yeah, why isn't somebody doing that? I mean, that would have saved me four majors. And I started making phone calls, and the next thing you know, I'm on a tidal wave of demand that I couldn't get off of, and I've spent the last 20 years of my life doing this.
And your hope is that kids get inspired to be interested not just in insects and other creepy crawlies, but science in general, right?
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I've learned from what I've been doing, going to schools, and I saw what was happening, but I didn't really realize what it was I was doing. But I light them on fire. I mean, that's my job. I want to do this in a way that would be done if I was sitting where they are. And I have parents and teachers telling me years later their kids are still talking about it. I have grown people coming to my shows with their kids because I went to their school. And some of them most of them have some kind of pet tarantula, scorpions. It just was something that really carried on. And I started to realize that I was doing something more than I thought. And so with insects are everywhere. And I was greatly influenced by the Redux of Cosmos, where they talked about the stories of all these different scientists who were in social conditions where if they hadn't had a little tiny stroke of luck, they would have never grown into the people that they had become. And the discoveries they made changed all of the human race. So go on.
You've got a handful of tanks here, and again, we'll meet the critters in a bit. But what happens? You're in a school, say, or a library. You've got all these creatures with you, and what happens?
Well, I do a shtick. It's not information. It's a wave of excitement that I'm trying to create. So I make them laugh, I make them scream, and I give them instructions on what we're about to do with the live animals, and I let them be responsible for the safety of my animals, and they get to come up and take out and hold some of these different things that I've brought with me today.
Yeah, so let's meet the one right on the other side of this computer screen from me with an open lid. It's an open lid.
What we have here is a very horny male millipede who is bothering the female at the moment. This is the African millipede. It is a little bit larger than the local ones that we find around here.
Right. This is like a tank, kind of. This is heavy duty.
Yeah.
Is the millipede, is this technically an insect, or is this in the arthropod family, or what?
Diplopod, to be specific.
Okay.
They're all arthropods, and very good observation. I bring a lot of different animals, not just insects. Mm-hmm. In fact, I only have one insect with me today because, well, there's just a lot of interesting things out there. So this is actually one of the flagships of my show.
Am I going to hold this guy?
I think you should.
Oh, that's something.
If you panic, make sure it falls on the table.
Okay, nope. I think I'm good. I once held a tarantula on my arm for a while.
Oh, then that's nothing.
A collector had brought it in to a pet food store I worked at. Oh, he's really interested in my thumb. So this is like, what, I have to say about 5 inches long, about, just for the people that are brownish, rings around it, just a ton of legs, just a whole lot of legs and feelers here, curiously wandering around. What's the diameter, you'd say? Half an inch?
At least a half inch, a healthy half inch.
Okay, and he's not interested in eating human flesh. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
I made sure to feed them before I got here.
Okay, good. All right, well, I'll hand him back to you. Here he goes.
Thank you.
And so how do kids, I think I did okay there, and I didn't know that I would. Give us the range of reaction from the kid holding that guy.
They lose their minds. My show is controlled chaos. at the end. But I have very specific and subtle rules to keep them in check, and they tend to police each other. But no, they lose it completely. Mm-hmm. They're wide-eyed, screaming maniacs running around, and they just can't get enough of it. I have a hard time getting rid of them after the show.
Talking to Tony Gustin, an entomologist from Milwaukee. He brings the creepy crawly zoo of a variety of creepy crawlies to schools, libraries, and elsewhere. Before we meet more of these guys, Tony, you're working on kind of having a home base now, this Gateway Science Center. Do I have the name right?
You are correct.
And so what are you working toward there?
Well, we've made major strides within the last year, especially recently with my association with Dan Capps, who is originally from the Madison area. He is donating his $500,000 insect collection to the project. My nonprofit status will be up soon, and I do have a lot of supporters just waiting for that, which it's a weird feeling because I've been working very hard on this for a long time, and all of a sudden now I'm in another phase of it. Never thought I'd get past the first one.
The reality is looming.
Yes, yes. It's now just a matter of time.
And so you're hoping to end up, it'll be not a museum exactly, but a live exhibit. Well, live and dead, actually. You'll have dead insects, too.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's. I'll explain it as best I can, where it's about the experience. It's a insect reptile zoo. Where you get to do the same kinds of things you would do in my show. Touch, feel, feed the animals, interact with them. But the really important part was that I had designed an outside area that was botanically designed to attract animals, where kids could just take a net and a jar and, you know, have at it. And those experiences on their own out there, where they see something on a plant, they smell the dirt, the associations that they build and experience on their own, that's how you reinforce memory. And then it's just the questions that form naturally. They want to know more. So you might see something on a plant, then you see it on the same plant again. And then you start asking, why do I always see this insect on the same plant? And that's one example, but then there's how do they affect our food? How do they connect to this? And I have a ton of stories and not a lot of time, but it can go anywhere from astronomy to geography to Egyptian hieroglyphs, depending on where the questions take you. So,
do you have a target age range that you reach out to for kids?
I would tend to say under 7th and 8th grade. Reason being is, kids change once they hit that age. So what you want to do is plant a seed early on, something that they continually relate to in a positive way. And you hope that that continues. You've planted deep enough that when they reach that certain age that everyone knows,
where you can't be enthusiastic about anything.
That's right. That's where I draw the limit on my show, too. But one day they're going to make a decision on what they want to do with their life. And those experiences early on will come back again. And you hope that that appreciation carries through. And what I'm really trying to promote is not science as a subject, but science as a way of thinking. I designed a book that is, for lack of a better word, a blank coloring book where they record observations of what they saw. And then teaching the tenets of science, which are very simple rules that kids can use to think through problems. Well, any kid can own that, and that can affect every aspect of their life.
I want to meet another member of your zoo here. Our producers are being wranglers here, and they swapped them out while we've been talking. Who's this now?
We have the vinegaroon. For a second, I thought, man, switch this. Here we go.
And that reaction of surprise was not, where'd it go?
Okay.
All right. This one? It's wow. Very slow moving.
Okay.
Boy, those pinchers sure look like they could do some damage.
Yeah, you might need two hands there.
Okay, I got two hands. So it looked like a kind of a beetle-looking body. Is this the insect in the group?
No, is another arachnid, but it's deceiving because it looks like it only has six legs.
Yeah.
What makes them really neat is arachnids don't have antennas, but several of them have developed elongated legs that are almost hair-like that they use like antennas. So those are actually legs.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's what threw me. It looked like six legs, two feelers, but no.
Yeah. It makes them neat. And that tail you see on the end there, they have a gland that can flick acetic acid. And vinegar is 3-5% acetic acid. The stuff that one will spray is 80% acetic acid.
Okay. And how do I know he's not going to spray it at me?
Well, you don't.
Okay. And how bad would it be if he sprayed it at me, like right now?
Well, you're wearing glasses, so yeah. That's a good first step.
Okay.
It would burn quite a bit. I've gotten sprayed on delicate skin, and I felt it for a quick second, and then it evaporates away.
All right. So not too bad.
No, it isn't. If you got it in your eyes, it might be a little worse, but you wouldn't go blind from
If I'm cutting up limes for drinks, it does always go right into my eye. So
that
I'll try
would be
to
worse.
Make my glasses like look at him. Okay. And this one, I could see a kid freaking out at this pretty good.
Well, that one I don't leave open, but I do let them hold. I just do the first part of taking it out.
Oh, you don't let them take them out of the thing?
No, there are certain things where that first initiation of taking them out is the hard part.
Okay, so, he's really searching out my hands with those feelers now. He's getting curious about what's going on.
That's a neat little animal. I mean, they're part of what I do is it is kind of a roller coaster effect where they scare the kids, but they want to experience it nonetheless.
Sure.
If they see one hold it, they can't pass it up.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm going to hand him back over. Him? I keep saying him. How do we tell?
I think this one's a he.
Okay. All right. And let's see if he'll crawl back into your hand now. All right. Okay, there he goes. He's holding on pretty good there.
Yep.
There are some things in the collection that you can't handle. Scorpions, I think we've got a scorpion here today.
I didn't say we couldn't handle those.
But there are some things that are for show only in the exhibit.
Yes,
right?
I do have things, but I didn't bring any of those things today.
Okay.
So everything I have, we can touch and hold if you want to.
All right, where's the scorpion? Oh, we've got it. Okay.
Right here. Man, you're good.
Wow. I didn't even notice you bringing that over. That's Bill Martin's wrangling here. Just a few moments left.
Try and do this as quickly.
You can hear Michelle Good in the background. Not well pleased with what's going on here, I think it's safe to say. I'm likely to be back with some politics talk after the news.
There we go.
Okay. I'm going to have you hold him because he's moving around fast, and one thing I don't want to happen is me drop him, and then we're looking under the console for the scorpion.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave this one to you, not out of any sense of cowardice or fear. Okay, maybe
Of course not. That isn't it at all. But I brought this flashlight so you could see this.
Okay.
All true scorpions fluoresce under a black light.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah. The scorpion, it's a small 3 inches long or so scorpion.
Yeah, this is a baby.
A baby, okay. And there's a purple black light here. And yeah, it is kind of fluorescent. I had no idea. Why is that?
It has something to do with the structure in their protein or the proteins in their exoskeleton. They will glow up to almost a year after they die also.
Well, I'd love to look at more of these guys. We're right up against the clock. Tony, thanks a lot for sharing this with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
That's Tony Gustine, entomologist from Milwaukee. He has a traveling show he takes to schools called the Creepy Crawly Zoo, and he's working toward this science theme park in Waukesha, the Gateway Science Center.
Discovery World every month.
Discovery World every month.
Correct.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.